I'm about as far from a science person as you can get. But I like to read about science, especially sort of when it's translated for me. And I was reading the other day an article about Albert Einstein and his theory of relativity, which is way over my head. Relativity is what I worry about when I go home Christmas, whether we will get along or not. But I am interested especially in the way he generated his ideas. He got a lot of his ideas, which would change the way of thinking about physics, from what he called thought experiments, in his imagination, in his dreams. And in one of his dreams, he had this thought: if a person falls freely, he will not feel his own weight. He later called that the happiest thought of my life. Now, wouldn't it be a great gift to no longer feel your own weight, certainly physically, but also spiritually and emotionally, to no longer feel the oppressive weight of the world as it is? I had my own insight, this one about God, not about physics, about this time of year, 16 years ago. I won't tell the full story, but in a moment, I stopped obsessing about myself and how to make myself ready to be with God, and realize that it's not about me, it's about God. When I had that realization, suddenly I was falling freely and did not feel the weight of my own fears and my own failures. It was the happiest thought of my life. Spiritually speaking, how can we get to a place where we no longer feel our own weight? We have to, if we're going to do it, we have to embrace a new reality, one in which our current order is turned upside down. In John's Gospel, not in our readings today, but elsewhere, John quotes the Baptist as saying something else about the coming of the kingdom. John the Baptist says, "Of the Messiah and of God, he must increase, but I must decrease. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks about earthly things. The one who comes from heaven is above all." This Messiah that John the Baptist proclaimed would not honor the status quo, but reverse the value system of the world. We hear about that reversal, especially today in the Magnificat, the canticle that we recited together, some of the most beautiful words in Scripture and in the prayer book. The Magnificat has Mary saying, "He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." A reversal, not just about her own fate, but about the fate of the entire creation, the entire world, which marginalized her and her kind. Our reading from Micah also begins to announce a new and different kind of ruler. This new Messiah on the way, too, is a person of humble origins. He, like Mary, proclaims a reversal in the social order. Now, what does this new social order mean to us? It's not just a cosmic reversal, but it is personal and it is individual. The gift that God gives us in the coming of Christ, in a sense, is weightlessness, the freedom which comes from putting love, not power, first on our wish list. In this reversal, an individual sacrifices power and their own desires in order to love others. It's that same realization. It's about God. It's not about me. If a person falls freely, he will not feel his own weight. But to be more specific, Let's go back a few weeks and think again about the question people asked John the Baptist when he spoke of the new reality. What then shall we do? There are many things that we can do to live out this reversal and to begin to give it some momentum. We can show generosity, not just of the pocketbook, but of the spirit. We have this spirit this time of year, the spirit of giving, and if we could get that spirit of giving to continue throughout the year, we would be so deeply blessed. And I know people will say, but I can't afford to spend on gifts all year round. You can if they're spiritual gifts. You can forgive all year long with no cost except to your ego. You can embrace all year long. You can heal all year long. You can soothe and encourage and be gracious all year long. And these are the gifts that change the world in this reversal of the world's order. In all matters, personal, professional, spiritual, in all matters, you can choose all year long to err on the side of loving and accepting. Because if a person falls freely, he will not feel his own weight. We can give gifts by continuing to decrease our focus on selfish needs, inviting God to increase in our hearts, our priorities, and ultimately our world. We feel lighter, not physically, certainly not during the holidays, but emotionally and spiritually. We feel lighter this time of year because we're more focused on giving than we are on getting. How can we feel that weightlessness and that sense of giving all year long? The larger key to this idea of giving and being gracious comes from something that is found in both the Jewish and the Christian traditions, the search for the image of God in the other person. Jonathan Sacks says, "Never believe that God is defined by and confined to people like you." So we are called, not only in the Christmas season, but in all seasons of life, to give the gift of seeing the face of God in the other and to accept that gift in ourselves, that we are made in the image of God. We are called to resist and reject, then, dualism, the inclination to divide the world into us and them. We make this harder because we think, well, I have to think of them when ISIS is doing these things and our enemies out there are doing these things to us. I'm not talking about international enemies. I'm talking about people in our own lives, in our own culture. Them, with regard to politics, color, ethnicity, economic status. Them, with regard to people on the other side of issues that cause us to be fragmented and to be at each other's throats. Those issues of welfare and guns and size of government and taxes, issues that divide our country, our country, into us and them. A lot of the writings of the Old Testament reflect on Israel's enemies, but that was the reality in ancient times. Today, our most dangerous enemies, I believe, are within us. Our need to exalt individual needs over the loving response to others. The need to name others as enemies to quiet those voices within us. When we separate ourselves, though, to quiet our own demons, we no longer fall freely. We are dragged down by our own weight, and we must strike out at someone else to resolve our insecurity or our need for power. We must strike out at them. Our instinct of us and them, though, must be suppressed and eliminated. And it can be with the coming of Christ and the empowerment by the Holy Spirit. If we could get rid of that tendency to separate constantly, we will at least prevent having more of what we already have, violence and factionalism, ultimately getting rid of our groupishness and strident individualism. In our culture and in others will be the prescription not just to prevent violence, but to begin to cure it, one person at a time. We have to stop being part of the culture of blame, the culture of us versus them. When times get difficult, we have a couple of choices. We can say, "Who did this to me?" which is rampant right now in politics and society. Or we can say, "Given that this has happened, what then shall we do?" We have to remember that we are the people of God. Micah, the other prophets, the people of the Old Testament, they had to separate themselves, at least to some point, because they were a fearful, tiny little kingdom. They were caught between the Egyptians or the Babylonians and the Assyrians, and they had to look for their enemies everywhere. They were caught in the middle of it all, but they were still the chosen people of God. We are caught in the middle of it all, but we too are still God's chosen people. So if we put God first, we fall freely. We're no longer conscious of the weight of the world. But if we put God first, we compromise in the interest of building a community and connecting ourselves to others instead of demonizing the others. Our story today in the gospel has God giving Mary and Elizabeth community and connection to one another and to a larger story. We need those connections to one another and to that larger picture to escape this quagmire of me first and it's all their fault. This is the new reality where we live out no longer feeling our own weight. We forgive. For letting our enemies define us takes away our freedom. If you think back to the time when God's people went into exile, they could no longer define themselves as they always had through their land and the temple, so they began to consecrate time instead of place. They were in captivity, physical captivity, but they did not let their tormentors define them. If we think with this larger view, this view from God, we make space for differences in faith, in personality, in opinion. We forgive enemies for our own good, to end the cycle of blame and victim and vengeance, to end the days when our enemies define us. In the Gospel of Luke, he quotes Isaiah's prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. He says, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." With the worldly burden of competition and separation gone, we would have nothing to protect. So we can embrace other people instead of demonizing them. God's kingdom is about making us all equal and level so that we have the freedom to celebrate our differences. because our differences, we are in the body of Christ, our differences are gifts, but they do not separate us. As Galatians says, with the kingdom of God, there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Mountains have been laid low. There is no longer Jew or Greek. So it's not just a reversal of the order, but an erasing of boundary and class. If we could just stop putting us first and them last, we could defy the weight of this world. And I believe Einstein, if a person falls freely, he will not feel his own weight. Amen.